If you have your Bible today, open up to the book of Jeremiah. Today we're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah's great book in the Old Testament. We're going to be looking at verses 11 through 13 today. And the title of the sermon is, Are You Happy? Are you happy? So Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13, Are You Happy is the title of the sermon. God's word tells us, says, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and you will find me when you search me with all of your heart. Let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, God, like Brother George sang today, I pray, God, that we'd be able to lay all of our burdens down, bring them to the Rock of Ages. Lord, I pray that no matter what we're thinking about, no matter what we're worried about, God, we can just table that for right now and focus on the reason we're here. And that's not so other people can see how we look. That's not to see who's here today, but it's to worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you, God, for all the great praises that we have. And God, thank you, Lord, for recently diagnosing Sister Connie, Lord, so that she can be treated, Lord. God, you've done so many amazing things, and we just give you thanks for them today, Lord. God, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today is the day they make that decision, Jesus. For it's in your holy and precious name we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I got to tell you, sometimes the Lord gives me long sermons. Don't get a frowny face yet.
Amen.
I'm continuing. Sometimes the Lord gives me long sermons. Sometimes the Lord gives me short sermons, although that's very rare. It does happen at times. Has anybody witnessed one of my short sermons before?
No.
Oh, man, oh man. At times God blesses me with funny sermons, or at least funny people, for sure. Sometimes he gives me some thought-provoking sermons. Sometimes God gives me serious sermon. Sometimes he gives me messages that are convicting or challenging. And I'll tell you that today is one of those challenging sermons. It's a sermon that I tried to get out of. It's a message I didn't want to preach. It's a message I was trying to do everything up until the last 10 minutes of trying to get out of it. But it's George's fault. The man right there. I want you to know this great sermon I had prepared for today all came to ruins and shambles because of that man. Not to call you out, George. But I was on my way to the hospital 10:30 at night on Friday. And as I was on the way to my hospital to go visit Brother George up there, God had laid a message. God had made a message on my heart. And I said, Lord, I don't want to preach that message, but God gave it to me a reason, and so I got to thank George for that message, and you can thank him today too.
Amen.
The Bible tells us in Isaiah 55 verse 9, it says, For as the heavens are higher than the earth, are God's ways higher than my ways, and his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. So instead of sharing what I was planning, I'm going to share with you what the Lord shared to me on that Friday night. I want to open up with a strange, forward, and uncomfortable question. But it's a question that I want you to really think about. The question is this. What are you doing with your life? Think about it. What are you doing with your life? Are you happy with your life? Is this the life that you're living right now? Is this the life you've always wanted? The one you dreamed of since you were a little boy or a little girl? Are you living that life today? Are you glorifying God with the life that you're living? How did you even end up where you are today? How did you even end up with the life that you have today? These are some questions that I ask myself periodically. Church, life is not a game. You don't have time to repeat it. This moment, these few minutes that I've already been speaking, they're gone forever. And you'll never get them back. Life has a beginning, and it has an end. And what happens in the middle is up to you. So again, I ask you, what are you doing with your life? You see, God's created you to be special. You're like no other man or woman ever created in the universe. You're unique. Your fingerprint is different than every one of the millions that are alive today and the billions that have passed on before you. You're an amazing creature. You have the ability to think, to see, to taste, to feel, to make decisions, and to live a life that can truly be blessed by God. Out of all of God's creations, that's right, you are the most amazing one. You're the only thing that the Lord created in His image. You're the only thing that He died on the cross for, so that you can be reunited in heaven. So knowing all these things, I ask you again, what are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your life? Ultimately, you control the decisions you make. You are where you're at right now because of the decisions you made up until this point in time today, including coming to church today. You made the decision to get up, take a shower, to come to church, to sit here in a pew, and listen to this word that God has for you today. So I want you to know that if you're happy with your life, if you're living your life that you've always wanted, you know God's will for your life, then this will just be a reminder. But if you don't know God's will for your life, if you aren't happy with your life, if you don't like the decisions you've made in your life right now, if you're not living your life to glorify God today, you can begin making that change today. You see, if you keep making the same decisions that led you to this point for another year, you're going to be in the same spot next year, or maybe even worse. The thing about it is, we cannot serve two masters. We can only serve one and hate the other. That's what the Bible tells us. Luke 16:13 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." You can't serve both God and the world. It's time for you to choose today, church. I don't know about you, but I'm following in Joshua's footsteps. He said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Church, we got to get rid of all the hypocrisy that's taking place in the world today. We say we love God, but we live for the world. You say you love God, but you go out in public, people see how you act, they see the way you talk, they see the way you do things, and they don't see Jesus in you. They don't see Jesus in me. We got to make a change. So who are you serving today? Which master are you living for? Think about this. Here's another way to think about it. What's holding you back personally from being everything God wants you to be? What's holding you back? Is it selfishness? Is it pride? Is it control? It's hard for you to give up control. Is it fear? What's holding you back from being everything that God wants you to be? Do you even know today what God's will is for your life? Do you even know that? It's okay if you don't. That's why I'm sharing the message. Joseph was a carpenter. Lydia was a seller of the color purple in the Bible. Paul was a missionary. Cain was a farmer. David, he was a shepherd, a warrior, and God turned him into a king. But who are you? What are you? That's the question we have to ask ourselves sometimes. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13, listen to what it says again. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. The Bible says God has a plan for you. For you. Just like he created you unique. Just like you're special. Just like there are no other fingerprints in the world like yours. He's got a plan that's for you. And only you. Do you know what God's plan is for you? Have you ever asked him? I know this is deep. But have you ever asked him? Have you ever asked him, God, what is your plan for me? Verses 12 and 13, they give you the secret to finding out. Listen to them again. It says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Men, your wives, your girlfriends, they can't tell you what God's plan is for you. Ladies, your husbands or boyfriends, they can't tell you what God's plan is for you. Your mom and dad can't tell you what God's plan is for you. They don't know. Your pastor, I can't tell you either. I don't know. God's plan for you is a personal plan. It's a personal journey that only you can go on. You have to go after it. You have to want it. You have to seek God. Nobody can do it for you. I want to tell you today about my journey. It was a journey that changed my life forever. It all started with Shannon coming home from nursing school one day. Her hair was messed up. Her scrubs were stained. But she had a glowing smile on her face. I asked her, how was your day, like I normally do? And she said, it was good, other than the person who threw fecal matter at me. And she smiled. And it wasn't a sarcastic smile. It was a genuine smile. I was like, if somebody threw poop at me, I might need to preach a sermon on control and anger and all that stuff later for that. But anyway, I was like, I looked at her and she had a genuine smile. I mean, she was really happy about this. So I asked her, why are you so happy? I mean, somebody threw poo at you. Why are you so happy? She said, Alan, when you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're doing what God's will is for your life, you'll be happy too. That really got me thinking. I thought to myself, why don't I have joy in my heart? Why am I not happy? I'm a good father. I'm a good husband. I lead the youth group at our church every Wednesday. I fill in for my pastor when he needs to travel. I provide for my family spiritually, financially, and I do my best emotionally. Why don't I have the same joy and happiness that Shannon has? Shannon was right. She's meant to be a nurse. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that's exactly where God wants to use her in the ministry. But so I asked myself the question, what about me, God? What's your will for my life? How can she be happy and me not be happy? Look at all the stuff I do and I still have no happiness. I'm working long hours. I'm miserable. I'm putting on this fake happy face for everybody. Has anybody ever done that before? And I want that same joy that Shannon has. I want to really live my life for you, Lord, 100%. God, what is your will for my life? Hopefully, if you never asked yourself that question today, you'll ask the same thing. That began a journey for me of 8 months. I had in-depth Bible study. I read books about God's will for my life. And I had intense prayer like I never had before. Meaningful prayer, purposeful prayer. I wanted to know. At the end of the 8 months, my journey was complete. My Strong's Concordance was worn out. My brain was fried. I studied the scriptures about God's will in their native language. I read books by many authors. I have expended every single resource that I knew how to use, and I still had no answer from God. I still was miserable. And I still wasn't happy. So like the scripture says in Jeremiah 29, 12 and 13, I got on my knees in my bedroom. I put my arms up on my bed to pray. And I called on God like never before. I prayed to God and I really sought God with all my heart. And I asked God with a raised voice and frustration in my heart. I said, Lord, your word says to seek you, and I've done that. I want to know what your will is for my life more than anything. No matter what I have to change in my life, I'll change it. But you've got to tell me, I got nothing else. I will do anything. Maybe some of these things were the key words. I said, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I surrender. I'm no longer living for me, my family. I want to live for you. I don't know what else to do, God. I'm broken. I'm shattered. Tell me, what is your will for my life? And to the still small voice, I heard the word pastor. Pastor. And folks, that was my journey to finding out what God's will is for my life. And you know what? I'm not going to tell you it was easy, because it was hard. One of the hardest things I've ever done. I'm not going to tell you it's easy being a pastor, living in God's will today, because that's also very difficult. But I have a joy in my life right now that can't be replaced by anything in the world. There is nothing you could do that would make me happier than living for the Lord and knowing that I'm doing His will. I wanted to know, how did Shannon have that joy? And now I have it. I guess what I'm saying is, you can have it too. So in closing, I'm going to ask you again. Are you happy with your life? Is this the life you've always dreamed of as a young boy or a young girl? Are you living the life God wants you to live? Do you know for an absolute fact that you're living out God's will, His purpose for your life today? If you answered no to any of those questions, isn't it time you make a change? Don't you want to have that joy? If so, you can begin changing your life today by coming up here to the altar and asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior if you don't know Him. If you do know Him, then ask Him, like I did, Lord, what is your plan and purpose for my life? Reveal your love to me. Show me. Don't wait any longer, church. You've already exhausted 20, 30, 40 or more years doing what you want. Isn't it time to get serious? Come and start that journey to find out what God's will is for your life today. Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. God, I pray that I stand here before you today sharing my testimony of how I found your will, God, that it will touch somebody. Lord, I pray that if there is somebody here today, Lord, they would come down here and begin the first day of their new life today. God, there's no reason to wait. While the musician gets ready to play, God, we don't need music to come down here and pray. Come and pray. Ask God, what do you want for my life? What is your will for my life? If you don't know what God's will is for your life, I'm begging you to come and ask Him. I want you to have that joy in your heart. And you're not telling me no if you decide not to come and pray. You're telling the Lord no. He's the one who gave me this message. Believe me, I didn't want to preach it. But this is what He laid on my heart. And so I know people need it just like I did. Make today, October 2nd, 2016, a day you'll remember forever. The day you began your journey to find out what God's will is for your life. I promise, like it changed me, it'll change your life forever. We're going to sing this verse of invitation, hymn 481. And if you want, you're welcome to sing or come and pray.
Search me, O God, and know. cleanse me from every sin and set me free.
There's plenty of room down here if you want to come. You can come and pray where you're at now, but I'll tell you, there's just something special about kneeling before the Lord and asking God. The Bible says we gotta seek Him with all of our heart. Have you really sought Him with all your heart? You see, I was doing good things. I was a good husband. I was a good father. I taught at church. But I wasn't seeking Him with all my heart. If you want to find His will for your life, that's the only way. There is no other way. Won't you come and pray?
Where was